at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Dallas-Fort Worth has had the largest population growth of any metro area in the country. It's according to new population estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. It measured growth from 2016 to 2017. And despite the local expansion, the state's not growing everywhere. Lloyd Potter is the Texas state demographer.
We also see people from other parts of the state, the rural parts of the state. Actually, we had about 100 counties that lost population. So there are people moving from other parts of the state to these more urbanized and suburban areas. And they're doing that largely because of economic opportunity.
Potter says Dallas County and other urban counties are seeing significant growth from international migration. Texas lawmakers have been battling for years over how to fund the state's public schools and where that money should come from. And it was a point of debate at an event in Fort Worth today put on by the Texas Tribune. Over the years, the state's share of public school funding has dropped, while the share from local tax dollars has gone up. State Representative Matt Krause is a Republican from Fort Worth.
The reason the allocation of state resources has come down some is because there's been so much more money coming into the local governments because of increased appraisals, increased money coming into them. So the state looks at it and says, oh, you're getting more money than you used to off the property that's in your district. That way we can save money and put it over here.
Representative Nicole Collier, a Democrat, says the state has shirked its responsibility but not keeping up its share of public education funding. In 2011, Texas lawmakers cut more than $5 billion from schools and never fully restored the funding. The state now contributes just 40% of K-12 public school costs. Collier says that's forced local school districts to use more tax dollars to make up the difference.
Local government is the first line of defense. They are more connected with the people, and so we have to allow them the opportunity to do the work that they do. So when you talk about they have more money, it's not the state's right to come in and take, you know, reduce our burden because they have more money. So I think that we got to rethink that premise.
The state legislature has set up a commission that's studying school finance. The group will issue recommendations for overhauling school funding before the legislature meets again next year. And when it comes to work, most of us just go along with the flow to get along with our coworkers. In order for there to be any progress, though, psychologist Charlene Nemeth argues you need people who challenge the status quo. Today on Think, she talked with Chris Boyd about the dangers of always siding with the majority.
Majorities, for example, don't just exert a lot of pressure on you to follow them or to agree with them, but they actually narrow your range of considerations. You start to think from the perspective of that majority. Basically, is that you start to seek information that corroborates the majority position. You're not aware of doing that, but what the studies show is that that's what you do. You start taking their perspective as you approach a problem for its solution, so you use their strategies. Anyway, what I'm getting at is that there's almost a version of self-brainwashing that goes on when you're facing particularly consensus. And that's when you have a majority in which there is no disagreement. That becomes very difficult for an individual to even know what they know, and what's more is that they start thinking in a way that almost justifies the majority position. So you can really kind of lose your sense of your own independent judgments in the process.
Charlene Nemeth is the author of In Defense of Troublemakers, The Power of Dissent in Life and Business. This episode of Think Rares tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Each act of gun violence that makes the news sparks a conversation about stopping the next one. Cry Havoc, a teen theater company in Dallas, wants to be part of that discussion. In this week's Artist Spotlight, Art and Seek's Hadi Mwangi follows the teens to the East Coast as they connect with politicians trying to fix the problem and survivors who've suffered its impact.
For most teenagers, spring break is a great time for a trip. Think Padre, maybe even Cancun. But the teenage actors from Cry Havoc Theater Company went to cold and windy Washington, D.C., they're researching their next play, and it's called Babel.
When you try to find comfort in something horrible, just knowing he wasn't alone is huge.
That's Nicole Hockley. She's the mother of Dylan Hockley, a 6-year-old autistic student who was gunned down at Sandy Hook Elementary in 2012. He died in the arms of his teacher.
In my nightmares, he's scared.
The teens met Hockley in D.C. She was there to urge politicians to support a bill in the House that's aimed at stopping school violence. But she took a break to share her experience.
And I know that he was killed instantly. He was shot 5 times in the body and once in the head. His face was perfect for his funeral, though.
It's heavy stuff, and it's definitely having an impact. Trinity Gordon, a senior at Skyline High School, says she can't stop thinking about Dylan. She knows people on the autism spectrum sense things more acutely.
Having to think of him deal with all of that sensory overload, like hearing and seeing and like maybe even like the smell of like the gunpowder and stuff, I really hope that like he was able to block that out and genuinely not know what was happening to him.
The group also spoke with Abby Clements, who was teaching second grade at Sandy Hook on the day of the shooting, and it haunts her. So she's become an advocate for school safety. But mass shootings, like the one in Parkland, Florida, leave her feeling guilty.
I felt this shame that we didn't fix this before this happened.
Why hasn't it been fixed? To find out, Cry Havoc arranged to meet lobbyists and politicians. They weren't the only teens looking for answers. That day, thousands of kids also showed up to voice their concerns on the Capitol lawn. Cry Havoc's Jemiah Parker, a junior at Booker T. Washington, spoke with 17-year-old Arielle Duran from Kensington, Maryland.
What are you doing here today?
We're protesting gun violence because enough is enough. Too many people have died under the hands of the NRA and the unjust gun laws. It's too easy to purchase guns. Peace over pistols.
Senators John Cornyn, a Republican, and Chris Murphy, a Democrat, agree it is too easy. So they put their differences aside to craft the Fix NICS Act, a bill that strengthens background checks and encourages states to report more frequently to the current criminal database. And the Fix NICS Act passed the House and is on its way to the Senate for a vote.
I may have an F rating with the NRA, but I don't have an F rating with NRA members.
That's Senator Murphy. Senator Cornyn declined to let us record his conversation with Cry Havoc. But both senators told the group that the Fix NICS Act is important yet insufficient. Again, Senator Murphy.
You know, it requires more records to be uploaded on a background check system, but it actually doesn't require a single new gun purchase to go through a background check.
The teens were surprised by the legislators' candor, especially Senator Cornyn's. They've had a hard time finding gun advocates and Second Amendment supporters who will talk with them. Many gun supporters confuse the teens' research with activism. Here's Booker T. Washington sophomore Angie Hogue.
The one thing that I did appreciate is how when we asked, do you think Fix NICS Act is enough to keep our school safe? And he's like, no, it's not enough, but it's a step forward. Yeah. I like that because it was nice to know that he wasn't just like, oh, that's it. That's all we're going to do. That's the solution, because it isn't.
For several of the students, this week was filled with firsts. First time flying, first time seeing snow, and the first time talking with lawmakers. Again, Jemiah Parker.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I definitely enjoyed my experience, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Despite the fun, the group came away feeling flummoxed. Angie Hogue sums it up perfectly.
Some people think some things, but on other things, and other people think other things. But then some people's kind of like overlap, but not on other issues. And so it's just like, I don't know, like when you do try to compromise, you have to water it down so much to where it's not even effective anymore. Like it's not even what you set out to do in the first place.
Luckily for them, Cry Havoc wasn't in D.C. to solve all of America's issues with gun violence. But they did hear lots of voices in the debate, which is why Babel may be the perfect title for their show this July. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Students across the country will protest gun violence Saturday at what they're calling the March for Our Lives. Coming up tomorrow morning, we'll hear from one of the student leaders of the Dallas March. She's a high school junior. We'll also hear from the superintendent of a North Texas school district where staff members are allowed to legally carry concealed weapons. That's tomorrow morning at 8:23 during Morning Edition. And for the evening, should be cloudy skies later tonight with a low around 59. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high near 82. And tomorrow night, much of the same with a low around 66. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.